You're listening to Art Bank on 95BFM.
So that was Nelson Mandela by The Specials, and I have Yona Lee on the line, and we're talking about an arrangement for five rooms at the Auckland Art Gallery Toyo Tamaki. And how are you, Yona?
Hi, Theo. I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me today.
Yeah, it's a big project. It's this kind of continuation of a series you've been working on for, is it 6 years?
Five, six years. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So should we jump into the interview? It's a very ambitious project, as the name suggests. It's an arrangement for five rooms, and that extends to the installation, you know, leaving the five rooms and going out into Albert Park. Mm-hmm. And for people who haven't seen your work, it's these elaborate, very metropolitan kind of labyrinthine structures of bent tubing. Is that accurate?
That's correct.
Yes, it is on this massive scale. How long did it take for you to kind of go from being approached for the project to achieving it last week?
Yes, so that was sort of like a long journey. And for me, that, you know, that working process seemed at the time like will never end. So it's sort of like surreal to actually have it sort of finished last week. So I was approached by the curator, Natasha Conland, last year in April about working on a new project. And so it was sort of meant to open late November last year, but due to the Delta outbreak, the show has been postponed to this year. And so, like, reflecting back to the process of the project, so we sort of start a conversation in April, and you know, she informed me in terms of their support, in terms of the budget, and what sort of like the ideas she has in terms of the space, the spaces, and kind of working with the technicians, and, you know, because the work sort of sits outside, so that involved about 10 specialists to advise on the work, because we had to go through like a resource consent from the council. So all of that, the consent process alone took probably 7-8 months, and on top of that, like the making process and a constant adapting the work according to different biases, like health and safety measures, and then I think the fabrication alone probably took like full 3 to 4 months of making. So it's been like a long journey, not only in terms of making, planning, but also like working with this alongside the specialists to get the council approval, like maneuvering layers of bureaucracy, and like that's been quite a like intense process for this project.
Is that kind of bureaucratic process, though, it almost feels quite of a piece with the work itself, because it is these very urban signs of, you know, urban structures, right? Is there, I mean, in your mind, is there kind of like a relationship there?
You mean as in like the relationship conceptually, or?
Yeah, I mean, well, in the sense that the work is, you know, drawing from transit architecture and navigating a city, and navigating council bureaucracy feels like the kind of metaphorical way of doing that.
Yes. Yes, it's sort of kind of interesting, like, to sort of work on these projects, sort of kind of expose that layers, so that connections and the layers of bureaucracy that's been there. So, like, I think they're metaphorically sort of connected. But what I enjoyed most is that sort of kind of it was quite a nice process to kind of understand. You know, it's quite a new process for me. Like, for me, like, it was all about just the idea and the work. But once it sort of goes through the glass and sits outside, there's a whole lot of other, you know, conversations that had to be done. You know, inside the work, inside the gallery, there's a whole another set of issues to deal with, but there was another whole layers of that, which was quite interesting.
Yeah, because for people who haven't seen the installation yet, it is this, you know, the material throughout the internal of the gallery is this tubing and this very, public transit infrastructure tubing, and then there's a point where the tubing just takes a little left turn and goes right through the window and forms this. Mm-hmm. It's also when it leaves the space, it becomes, I think, particularly dreamlike. I think, yeah, like make, mm. yeah, it feels like it's kind of transgressing a boundary.
Yeah, like when I first saw the space, I mean, I've seen many shows in that space, but oftentimes, like the blinds were down, and you have this wall that sort of like hides that the glass facade and that connection to the Arbor Park. You know, like first of all, to protect the work, and you know, a lot of sort of like fragile works can't handle that amount of the sunlight. So often, like, so you don't often sort of like have that sense of connection when you're in that space. But because of my material can handle such very harsh environment, because it's, you know, steel is stainless steel, and so my first sort of like I guess my instinct when I was in that space was to kind of wanting to connect that the inside and outside, and kind of reach out to Albert Park, and that negotiation has been really difficult because of that the content we have to get. And it wasn't until like 1 week into install that we had actually received the consent approval for that space. So it was like a huge like risk on the gallery as well as myself to kind of work on this project up until the very last minute, not knowing that this can actually happen.
Well, the project as a the project as a whole has this sensitivity to the gallery's architecture, and that's something that's very, you know, much a recurring theme in your installations of the. I mean, I've seen a few from the last decade, really, before you were working with this transit material and after. But one of the kind of interesting architectural notes to the piece is the fact that the art gallery actually uses a very similar tubing for its internal railings. And was that something that kind of occurred to you as, you know, was that something you were aware of before you were approached for the project, or was it something that played a role in your initial development of this installation?
Yes, a bit of both. And I think my, you know, like when you think about the art gallery architecture, this sort of like this handrail, it's they're kind of strong aesthetic feature of the whole design. We're more aware of it because it's been built, you know, like more or less recently, and it's a new material, and so what I've done is that I wanted to kind of like make this as part of the work and as a way to activate the whole building. And there's something, so what I've done is that sort of really mimic how they are made. And so I had to sort of like, so the material that the handrail that the gallery has is satin, a satin finish, and then how they're made, it's beautifully crafted, and you have, you know, there's no seamless joints, and there's certain diameter of the tubing that's been used, both the handrails and also their door handles. It's like long door handles. And so I wanted to kind of, so right from the early on in the development of the project, I wanted to kind of incorporate that, embrace that. And in order to do that for me is to sort of like change the finish of the material equivalent to the gallery's handrails, and also kind of raise that the fabrication level to the level of the how the handrails are made in the gallery. So also I've changed and developed so a new joining system to the work, and most and all of the bends are seamless. Unlike my previous work, often you see these the welded joints. Kind of, you know, I was sort of like happy to expose them, but because of the I had to raise that level to the standard of the gallery building. So it has been a lot of work gone into working up the system, how they are joined together. How they're fixing to the wall and to the ceiling and so on. So there's been, I guess, the engineering ways of the work has been kind of informed by these existing features in the gallery. Mm.
Yeah, I think it must be coming across to any listeners who haven't seen the work yet that it's highly complex work, and it requires a massive amount of planning and preparation.
Mm.
And I was curious, do you use much drawing in your process, and are you working with, you know, architectural drawing tools to, you know, pre-visualize the exhibition?
Yeah, definitely. So I use these programs. I use a lot of programs. I use SketchUp. Use like Blender, and I and because we had to negotiate a lot of these conversations with specialists and to get the consent approval, I had to sort of generate a lot of like plan view drawings and so on to communicate these ideas. So for me, so these different programs have different purposes, and I use them for different purposes. And for SketchUp, I use them to draw out the space onto the program to work on the scale and like the engineering, like working through the engineering aspect of the work and working through ideas. And then I use like Blender to sort of render these drawings for the purpose of communicating the ideas with not only the curator but all the people that's involved in this project, and also use like hand drawings on like plans to actually work out this kind of physics aspect of the work, and like a lot of calculations that's involved, and really practical drawings to kind of outsource like the manufacturing manufacturer of companies. So there's a lot of like drawings sort of in the process to not only working through ideas but to communicate ideas and work through like the engineering aspect of the work. So it's quite a complicated process, and there's a lot of like numbers in that, working with numbers in that process.
Yeah, the wall text in the exhibition alludes to your background as a cellist, but I was curious, do you have any experience with architecture, or are you entirely self-trained?
In terms of architecture, yes, I like architecture, and I look at some of the architects and architecture and so on, but I'm not trained in it. So it's really sort of like learned all these skills like on the job, on the project.
Yeah, sort of like learning the things you need to learn for the project in particular, and just building up over time.
Exactly. Yeah.
And one thing we haven't really touched on is that, as well as this tubing, there are these appendages throughout. Things like, I mean, my favorite was there's a soap stand, like you have in a shower, and a little bar of soap about 2.5 meters above the ground.
Yeah.
And then there's also a bus bell that you can ring in one of the rooms. And as well as those, there's also a functional desk with USB and power circuits. And I was wondering, the interactive element of the exhibition, do you anticipate people kind of using these functional objects? Because you are allowed to, you know, touch them and engage with them.
Yes, definitely. Some of the objects that are hung too high, like the soap, obviously has no kind of interactive value to that. But a lot of objects are, like you said, the USB, power board, and like the bunk bed and the chairs, they are welcome to be used. And I am a big fan of sort of having these resting furniture in the gallery spaces, and I think they're very necessary. They are open to be used in whichever, however the audience wants to use. And there's also for me, these objects, these furniture, what they do is that it actually helps, or it sort of helps the audience to spend time in the space. Like often when we go and see a show, we walk through the space and we see the show and then we leave, and there's something about sort of holding the audience, sort of like spending time in the work, is something that I'm quite interested in.
Yeah, I was really, I really liked the desk in particular, because while I couldn't see someone necessarily entering the space and having a nap on the bunk beds, but I could imagine someone who, you know, maybe works in the area, or a student who has their laptop in their bag, thinking, well, I might as well just work in the middle of this installation because it's a nicer place than most.
Yes.
And there's also, you know, as we've talked about, there's a lot of overtures to transit systems, and the series is called In Transit, drawing from, I believe, you beginning it when you were working in Seoul, which has the largest, maybe I'm wrong about this, the longest underground in the world? Is that may be wrong, that might be your
conjecture. I'm not quite sure.
With these public transport tones within the exhibition, do you think attendees' relationship to it will be affected by the changes that Auckland's public transport is going through at the moment? I mean, particularly, just over the street, or, you know, a few blocks over, you've got the massive light rail construction.
Yes. They were not necessarily planned to sort of talk to these developments, but it's more like a coincidence, which is sort of like inevitable because of the ethos of the work. And, the work sort of like reflects the, you know, development of this technology. When we look at the invention of the plane, or the car, the train, or even the internet, you know, there's there's this sort of common kind of spirit of like wanting to kind of overcome that, the limitations of like body, space and time. And so that light rail development, which is that exactly, you know, that so I think the work sort of like aligns, you know, more on a like so I think like, you know, the spirit sort of aligns in terms of that the technology development of like transportation and so on, like more than anything.
Thank you so much for speaking to me this morning. And the exhibition is on until the 2nd of October, so there's a long time to see it. You must be relieved that it's that it's up and going.
Yes, I'm super relieved that it's done, and I hope that Auckland will enjoy the show till then.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, and have a lovely weekend.
Thank you, Theo, for having me. Okay, you have a good day.
See ya.
Okay, bye.
95 BFM's Art Bank.